talks about three types of food, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic food, सात्विक रजसिक तमसिक यज्ञ, सात्विक रजसिक तमसिक तपस, देन सात्विक रजसिक तमसिक धान, दान दान गिफ्ट, फूड यज्ञ तपस दान. You can't live without food. Survival is not possible. But a person who understands in life that my purpose of life is to realize the self. See, the fundamentals should be very clear. Gita is very simple, scriptures are very simple. All that they are saying is, what you are looking for in life is nothing but security, happiness, freedom. These are the things that you look for, right? So what they say, instead of mechanically following the rest with herd instinct, you sit down and think. You have in front of you elders, society people, neighbors, everybody who have been following, who have achieved something at different levels. Maybe somebody is a billionaire, maybe somebody is a millionaire, right? But you see all of them, in spite of all these acquisitions, still not feeling that secure, still not feeling that happy, still not feeling that freedom, which they thought would come to them once they achieved all this, and they sweated, they struggled, and they achieved it. Right. So now with all this thinking, you understand that all this will help you for transactional purpose in the life. Iron and gold is good for buying iron and gold. So therefore, I will not disrespect them, those kind of pursuits, but I understand that is for transactional purpose. Then what is that which will give me that security or happiness or freedom that I am looking for? So that with that I go to the Guru or the Shastra. The Shastra clearly explains, you will not get it from any achievement at the material level, physical level, emotional level, intellectual level. You will only get it by realizing yourself, which is infinite. Therefore, you are actually wanting to get there only, not knowing you are going through these pursuits. So therefore, you should realize the self. This is what the scripture says. And you think about it, you understand. Now, my goal is what? To achieve that self. Right. But at the same time, I am not that developed where I can just fully focus on that. I need shelter, food, whatever. So I transactional purposes I do for that sake. But the attention is what? Attaining the self, not getting lost in any of this. Then what happens is, then the food is required to survive. Then the lifespan is there. So I am not going to go against the lifespan. I try to live maximum lifespan, taking in the right type of food, which will energize me to pursue that goal. Otherwise, my mind will want to get into certain types of food, which may give me instant pleasure and joy, but it will not be helpful for me to lead a healthy, happy lifespan and pursue the highest. Therefore, what kind of food I must consume? So he talked about sattvic, rajasic, tamasic food, which we talked. Now the certain type of food is conducive, not direct implication, but conducive for the increase of awareness in you. Certain type of food dulls the awareness. Certain type of food is conducive for becoming more rajasic outwardly. You understand? Therefore, what type of food you should consume? And food is not just food that you consume, any intake. You could even interpret it as taking in of thoughts. Though he talks about it in some other context, you are taking, that is also food for the intellect. What are you taking? You understand? Then, you have to do action. Inaction is death. Action is the insignia of life. And that action, do it in the spirit of yajna. So, sattvic yajna, rajasic yajna, tamasic yajna. People perform yajna, rituals. And those rituals are what? They are practice for you to incorporate into your daily life. Not just stop at the ritual level and do nothing. And that yajna also, why do you perform? Is it fulfillment of desire? Or is it increase of awareness? Or what is the purpose? So, sattvic, rajasic, tamasic yajna. And nothing is possible to be achieved, whether it's material or spiritual, without effort. Impossible to achieve without effort. And there are efforts at two different levels. What is that? You have to put in efforts to curb your instincts and things to go towards what is not good for you. And you have to put in effort directing yourself to do the right thing for you. It doesn't come that easy, isn't it? Mind wants to go towards what is detrimental. Doesn't want to go towards what is good for you. The problem, in fact, Duryodhana says this very clearly. He says, I know what is right, good. I know what is wrong, not good. But yet I can't bring myself to do what is right and good. I'm tempted to do what is not good for me. It is the mind. So tapas, effort. It's there. You know? I must curb my impulses.
But he also has self-realization to be able to say that.
Who? What self-realization you are talking about is a very relative level of self-awareness. I do have this. But what are you doing about it? Firstly, do you want to do something about it? And what are you doing about it? Yes, that much is correct. He is aware that I have this problem. That's what you are calling self-realization. When we use the word self-realization, we mean realizing the Atma within. Okay, that's okay. You can use this term both how. He realizes that he is having this issue. That's what you are saying. Which is fine. That's a very good thing. But just stopping at that is not going to help you. You have to work on it. See, sir. You see, that is why you say, if once you are dedicated to improvement of yourself, you will have no time to talk about all this others, negative and all that. You have no time. You do not have any such goals of improvement of yourself. And when your attention goes outside, then you are realizing only in this. Do you understand? So, a person who, you take any achievers, in any field, whether material, physical, whatever field, they spend time on themselves. It's important. I'm reading the book Sapiens now by Yuval Noah Harari. I'm told that he spends minimum 3 hours first thing in the morning with himself. Anybody you take, you've got to constantly look at it. A sportsman, for example. Right? He reflects. You have to spend time upon this. And if you start concentrating upon your personal development, growth, improvement, you will have very little time to talk about others. You understand? So, that effort is extremely important. So that is what he talks about as tapas. 3 types of tapas. So if you have shraddha, that I must realize this self, I have faith in that, and that's the only thing which will give me the security or happiness or freedom that I am looking for, then with that you have to start doing sattvic yajna, to start performing, taking in sattvic food, sattvic actions, yajna, and then sattvic tapas, and then sattvic dhanam. Because the idea is to crush the ego, dissolve the ego. So you have to bring in giving into your life. And when we talk about giving, like I have always mentioned, you should live your life itself in such a way that you don't take more than what is necessary and deserve. More than what you deserve and what is more than what is necessary. Then that is another way of giving. Firstly, if you take more than necessary, and then by that you have denied people, and then you go on to dhanam for what? You understand? First itself you don't take more than necessary. That is also giving. So once I start understanding this, then I will start applying myself. This whole thing put together is shraddha. So therefore he says, sattvic tapas. And when he talks about sattvic tapas, rajasic tapas and tamasic tapas, sattvic tapas, he says, you have to do at the 3 levels. Kayika, vachika, manasa. Kayika means body level. You have to put in that effort. Then speech level. You have to put in that effort. Then mind level. You have to put in that effort. కాయిక వాచిక మనస ఆల్ ది త్రీ పుట్ టుగెదర్ ఇట్ ఇస్ సాత్విక తపస్. అంటే తమసిక్ రజసిక్ అండ్ తమసిక్ తపస్. దెన్ ఈ టాక్ అబౌట్ సాత్విక్ రజసిక్ తమసిక్ గానం. ఆల్ దిస్ పుట్ టుగెదర్ ఇస్ శ్రద్ధ. So we have seen up to verse 13, Sattvic, Rajasic, Tamasic worship, Sattvic, Rajasic, Tamasic food, Sattvic, Rajasic, Tamasic yajna. Now we will get into Sattvic, Rajasic, Tamasic tapas. శారీరం తప ఉచ్యతే. శారీరం రిఫర్స్ టు బాడీ. తపస్, దీస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ కాల్డ్ ఎస్ తపస్ అట్ ద బాడీ లెవెల్. ఇట్ హెస్ బీన్ సెడ్. సో హియర్ ఇస్ ఏ ద వర్షిప్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్స్ ద్విజ ట్వైస్ బాన్ గురు ప్రాజ్ఞ దేవ ద్విజ గురు ప్రాజ్ఞ పూజనం. పూజనం మీన్స్ వర్షిప్. వర్షిప్ ఆఫ్ గాడ్స్ ట్వైస్ బాన్ గురుస్ అండ్ ద వైస్ అండ్ ఆల్సో శౌచం ప్యూరిటీ ఆర్జవం అప్రైట్నెస్ బ్రహ్మచర్యం సెలిబసీ అహింస నాన్ ఇంజరీ are called austerity of body. Like I said, when he talks about sattvic tapas, he talks about kayika vachika manasa tapas. So in this verse he is referring to kayika. So first thing is this, at the body level you should worship gods. Gods, the word is in plural, which means it's not talking about Brahman, it is talking about various deities as limited ideals, higher ideal. That's what it's talking about. Identification with higher purpose, higher ideal, different devatas which fulfill your different desires. And the purpose of worshipping these devatas is to quench your desire, to rise above, not to perpetrate, to increase more and more desires. So worship of gods. Then twice born. When a child is born, only the body is born. After a few years, the mind and intellect grows. And when the mind and intellect starts developing, the child is taken to the guru to initiate into the higher studies. And the person who is initiated into the higher studies, moving towards Brahman, is given that thread, sacred thread. So they call it as dvija. The time the person is born, second time. So such people, keeping in company with them, identification with them, worshipping them, meaning you have mental value for them, you associate with them, because you value your guru. And gurus, guru means one who dispels the darkness, ignorance. So identification with guru, because when you are following the path towards the self within, when you will fall, when what will happen, you don't know. Right? You have to be careful. So therefore, guru is extremely important in the spiritual path. See, because once you come into spiritual field, you will slowly start seeing your shortcomings. And when you see your shortcomings, what are the possibilities that can happen to you?
You learn to fix them.
You can learn to fix them or you can become agitated about it. Oh my God, I didn't realize that I have all these problems. Why am I having these problems? At the moment, you are so much involved in the worldly things, you are not even seeing the negativities in you. Once you start studying Vedanta, what will happen? You will slowly start realizing, yes, I am also having jealousy. I'm also having greed, I'm also having this kind of a lust and this and that, then suddenly you can become extremely disturbed. Swamiji says, one fellow wrote a letter after going back from the ashram. He says, I was a very happy man until I met you. This is what happens once you come to spiritual view. Meditation is the final state. And when you go into meditation and you become aware of your thoughts, all sorts of thoughts will come. And once you become aware, that time you have to be very careful, because if you start getting involved in it, it can disturb you furthermore. Therefore, the help of the Guru, the role played by the Guru is extremely important. So Gurus and the wise person, Prajna. Jnana means Jnani, one who has knowledge. Prajna means one who is established in that knowledge. The person who is firmly rooted in that knowledge, such a person you identify with. You constantly take guidance from them. Your intellect, you understand that it is very relative. It needs to be further evolved. So therefore, you constantly take guidance. See, many times what happens, you will come into a situation where you are not clear. So you need to take guidance from the higher person. And the higher person will not straight away start giving guidance. He will first make you take your own decisions, but he will be there when he thinks you are going wrong. And in the tough situations where you consult a higher intellect before plunging. Are you with me? Therefore you need to identify with the wise person. And purity, shaucham, and the body, mind, intellect at all level, you need to maintain that purity. So here he is talking at the body level, it's extremely important. If you can't see the impurity at the body level, how can you see impurity at the subtle level? Spirituality is removing all the impurities at the subtle level. The stand that Vedanta takes is, you are already the Atma. You are not seeing it because of the impurities of desires. Once the desires are removed, Atma reveals itself. Isn't it? Godless desires equals human beings. Human beings minus desires equals God. So you need to remove the inner impurifications. Now if you want to remove the inner impurifications, you got to wipe off the external impurities. Gross impurities. That is an effort, it's not easy. So that's what he is talking about here. Shaucha. Arjavam. It's one of the most beautiful qualities. Uprightness. Thought, word and deed is in straight lines. Arjavam. Upright. Not thinking something and saying something and doing something. Your thought, word and deed should be straight, upright person. It's always in line, your actions are in line with your higher goal. Following your gross intellect's conviction and conscience. That's what you do. You will not, like you asked, no. Shweta asked, when I do this, am I denying or am I doing the right thing? So if you are using your intellect, you won't deny.
I didn't quite understand the question. I came in a little late. But were you talking about not participating in gossip? Or
not just gossip.
Judging the other person.
Everything. All of, not judging the other person, but more basically like of the good and bad in every one and every situation. Of not focusing on only the negative. Knowing the negative and then wanting to focus on the positive and move on from there.
So negative as in...
Like today, supposing I have a shortcoming, everyone
give an example.
Supposing I know that you are a loose talker, so I might not trust you. I know that this person is a loose talker and she is a little bit of a gossip. So I not in the same space may not trust you with something which is I don't want to trust you with in that sense. So knowing that, but at the same time, when I meet you, like you start on a clean slate, it's not like with a judgment that, oh, like you just know that this is one aspect, but then there are 10 other things which I admire about you. So let's focus on that and move on from there. So it's, I was asking, is that denial? Like I don't want to, like you know, in different people. People say, but oh, this one has is like this. Don't, like, you know, you don't want to address it. It's not a matter of addressing. I mean, I know it's there, but it's...
So it's an individual opinion created. While there may be 100 other people who may love him or her.
Yes. Or it may be personal also.
But you have to
have
that...
What you said is absolutely right. Individual opinion created. 100 others may see that the person doesn't have it. Or it may be that somebody has that blemish. It may be possible. But what Shweta is asking is, she's not even, if I understood you correctly, she's not even getting into whether she has it or not. Let's assume that a person has it also, the negative. But she's saying that person also has other positive things. So therefore, I don't want to be focusing too much on the negative.
I don't want to keep, like, you know, okay, so she's like this, but she's like this, but she, okay, so let's not, so then, okay, she's like, if I feel personally, I feel that she's like this, I don't trust her with something which is intimate to me.
Right.
But then the other aspects of why, but the other things are alright. So like, supposing somebody says, oh, she is very egoistic or snobbish, but fine, that might be one aspect, but there are other aspects also. So do we want to just keep?
Yes. So when you consciously take a decision not to keep on focusing on the negative, it is not denial. Denial would be when you just refuse to see the negative. Then it is denial. So our question is whether it is denial.
That is my question.
My answer is it's not denial. So therefore, you know, you follow the conviction. It's not denial. Being straightforward, upright, thought, word and deed in one line. Not telemeta, you know, thinking something, saying something, doing something. In fact, in Islam, there's a beautiful usage of that term, inshallah, which is fascinating. You know, suppose we say, okay, let's meet on Sunday. So I say inshallah. Inshallah means God willing. Yes, of course I want to meet you on Sunday, we'll decide, but inshallah, God willing, we don't know what will happen. But I am told that some people misuse it by saying inshallah, which means it's not really committing. I'm not committing. Inshallah. You understand? Now, what is that phrase is trying to say is understanding that I want to meet you, but if God willing, I'll meet you. But these people have made it, inshallah means, if I don't come, God didn't want me to. But actually you don't have interest to come. This is the worst thing to do, you know. This is what somebody told me. If such a thing is being done, then you are not being upright. So, thought, word and deed in straight line. Then, celibacy, brahmacharya. And brahmacharya is using it in the physical context. So it is majorly discussed in terms of abstaining from sex. You understand? But what he is trying to say here is Brahma Charati iti Brahmacharya. One who walks, chara means walk, one who walks in the path of Brahma. So when I am now committed to reach a certain goal, I must save my energy that is getting dissipated. Are you with me? I must save the energy that is getting dissipated in the lower channels and direct it towards the head. In fact, the definition of tapas that Swamiji gives is beautiful. It is austerity has two aspects. One is conservation of energy that is getting dissipated in the lower channels and directing that conserved energy towards the higher. This is tapas. Are you with me? This is the main thing that I have to do. So then, therefore what happens?
So I was saying that things like going to the gym is also lowering your energy.
No. If you over-exercise, if you go on dissipating your energy too much that you don't have any energy to do other things, then yes. But if you do it in such a way, in fact when you exercise correctly to your capacity properly, you will build energy rather than dissipating. But there may be people who are doing dissipating. It's a different matter. So, conservation of energy and and directing it towards the higher is the primary thing. So I am walking towards that goal, Brahman, means the highest goal. It can be a relative goal. So accordingly I have to use my body, not deny it. You understand? Supposing you go on suppressing, you understand? You may be frustrating yourself. That is not the purpose. That is dangerous. So understand, this is the purpose. So therefore willingly I withdraw. But Because these are areas which dissipate my energy. In fact, they say brahmachari, brahmachari also means student, right? Brahmachari, student. For students, they say, why you want to dissipate your energy? Why certain disciplines are brought about? The disciplines are brought about because you should understand now the purpose is to develop the intellect and intelligence. That is the reason you are here. That is the reason you don't have to worry about where your food is coming from, where your clothes are coming from, your parents are struggling, the society is struggling, the teachers come and give you so many people. So you have fun, enjoy all that fine, but don't dissipate your energy and get not using the time to develop the intellect and intelligence. That's not the purpose. Are you with me? So therefore, if you understand that, then you will not deny. So that is what is called brahmacharya, disciplined life moving towards the goal. Brahmacharati iti brahmacharya, one walks in the path of Brahman. Then non-injury, ahimsa, consciously living a life without injuring others, in fact more than physical, it is mental also. Not just physical injury, mentally also you should not injure anybody. And that is what is non-injury. In fact in this country this term ahimsa is misunderstood. They literally take it as physical non-injury. Of course physical non-injury is important. But more than that, when you say non-injury, it's at the mental level. You should not have any ill feelings towards any being. There's no ill feeling towards any being. But many a times what has happened is people started using, or it has become a weakness in them. This quality of non-injury has become a weakness in them. This is a strong thing, not a weakness. Being a person of ahimsa should be strength, not weakness. Others have exploited the condition of such a person of non-injury and then they conquered. Like for example in India, we have read history, when they knew that Hindus would not kill cows, they fenced themselves with cows and we will not shoot them. They will shoot from hiding behind the cows and come and conquer us, and having conquered, they have killed more cows. You understand?
I don't know about this story.
History says that a lot of kings have done that. So the point is, here the point that we need to understand is, yes, while physical non-injury is to be practiced, it's extremely important, but we must understand that it is unavoidable. For example, even when I'm talking on Gita, I'm killing a lot of insects when I'm talking. So that awareness is there by which my physical, that is why a lot of sages and sannyasis don't go out on certain months. For example, there will be a lot more ants and insects crawling because of the weather condition. So by moving, because they are constantly moving, right? Sannyasi has no particular place to stay. He's constantly moving. Right? Such a person, but for few months he will stay in one place. Or 1 month he will stay in one place. Why? Because those days a lot more insects are moving around. He doesn't want to hurt them. Also, this is awareness whereby I don't want to injure. But some people do tapas itself in such a way that it becomes injury to their body. Like she just asked, exercising in such a way that you injure yourself. You should understand what sort of exercise is being done. Right? Otherwise if you do it too much, then it becomes injury. So non-injury is brought about in this tapas at the body level. I become so conscious that I don't want to injure anybody including myself. All this is tapas at the body level. Next he talks about tapas at the speech level.
Oh,
అనుద్వేగకరం వాక్యం. దేగ ఉద్వేగ అనుద్వేగ దట్ ఇంపల్స్ ద స్పీచ్ వితౌట్ ఎక్సైట్మెంట్. You know that impulsive tendency in us, giving to the mind and talking impulsively. Uncultured people talk like this. In Shakespeare's Othello, Othello talks like that to Desdemona. Desdemona is too cultured. She can't talk like that. So Othello does like that, he used that word. And then she gets upset. Am I that word? Am I that word? Yeah. She's asking Iago who's there. Am I that word? Am I that word? She's not even able to repeat that word. Am I that word? Am I that word? Then Iago is asking, what word? What word, my lady? What word? And she's not saying it. And Iago's wife, Emilia, who's present there, she says it. He called her like this. So that impulse, giving to the mental impulse and talking, you know. So there's control. The mind might want to say something, but before expressing, you will ask yourself, is it truthful? Anudvega karam vakyam satyam. Is it truthful? When I'm talking about the other person, have I done some assessment? Is it true? And by talking that, is it going to benefit somebody? Or I'm just talking loosely. I'm talking like that, is it going to make that person pleasant? Is it going to help that person grow? So, anudvega karam vakyam satyam priyam hitam. This control, before talking you are practicing control. So you want to say something, have a glass of water, relax. Think. Not even one word will come out of you without thinking. And also put yourself in that person's shoe and then speak. For what am I speaking like this? For what? Is it just for my excitement, my impulse? The moment I understand this, automatically I save so much energy. That much energy is all I require to succeed in life. The energy that I dissipate in these kind of frivolous discussions is all I require to succeed. See, willpower, end of the day, is a muscle in your prefrontal cortex of the brain. Right? And if you go on wasting it in these kind of things, you have very little willpower to do something worthwhile. If you can save those things, that much willpower will help you to do the right thing. All that you do to do whenever you are getting into this kind of thing is understand. A person who has no goal or any higher vision, no interest in growth, only interested in swelling or whiling away the time, he or she is involved in these frivolous discussions. So therefore it is a speech without excitement, which is truthful. You should ask yourself, is it true? And is it pleasant? Is it going to bring certain negative feeling? Is it not going to help the person? It's not beneficial. Then why talk about it? Every time before we talk, we can exercise, automatically we save a lot of energy. So that's what he's saying. And also the practice of swadhyaya, swa-adhyayanam. Abhyasa of daily self-study. When you do that, see, speech comes from your mind. So when you keep doing your self-study, you will be, like for example, chanting. Adhyayanam also means chanting. You are chanting the good words, the good vibrations, the good things. And also these good things have deeper meanings. When you start reflecting on them by self-study, you will change the very texture of your mind. When the very texture of your mind is changed, The speech that comes out of it spontaneously would be all this without any excitement. What is good for the other person? Truth, beneficial, etc. And you will talk it in a pleasant way, not in a hurtful way. I believe Abraham Lincoln had this habit. When he got angry with somebody because of certain behavior or whatever, what he used to do is, apparently, he used to write letters to them, but he will not post it. In that letter, he will vent out all his feelings. And I believe Nietzsche, he will write, unsent, unsigned. Not sent, not signed. He will write that. And then he will keep it in the file. So he's vented out, right? But he's not told them. Like that, when he does that, slowly the thing is gone. The impulse is subsided. And then he reflects, because he's become calm. At that time he reflects and changes. So, many times we impulsively talk. So much energy is being wasted. So he goes at the superficial level, at the depth. The depth, what you have to do? Daily study. That comes in the austerity of speech. So if you study the scripture, if you chant the scriptures, then your self-memory, your whole thing, you are practicing doing those things only. Not wasting your time in other things. That's why if you see some people, even when they are traveling, I see them in the airports also. Now, they are probably followers of ISKCON or whatever. They have that, that bag kind of thing in which they put the hand into. And they have the mala which they are doing japa. And they are also chanting. All this is done over a period of time. You can do it mechanically. I am not saying everybody is doing it mechanically. You have to be careful. But it's interesting. Why? Because if you don't train the mind in the right thing, it may slip into the negative. So keep engaging in the positive chanting. And like I told you, speech is very, very interesting now. You can't talk when you're inhaling. You can only talk when you're exhaling. You try talking when you're inhaling. Impossible. You can't. So when you are talking, you are exhaling. Right? So this japa and all that will have long exhalations. So it will quieten, calm your mind. So that's why when somebody is agitated, disturbed, when children are throwing tantrums, just tell them to simply breathe. Just breathe normally. Exhale. Long breathe. Breathe normally. Have a glass of water.
Before exhaling, you have to inhale.
Yes, of course. Inhale and exhale. It's okay. Just exhale fully. At that time, your child is throwing tantrum. Breathe fully. Normal. Breathe normally. And then tell them, focus on that breathing. Focus on, they're quiet. Then they are available for discussion. When they are throwing tantrums, you are sitting and giving them logic, reason, nothing will work. So therefore he says, self-study, swadhyaya abhyasa means practice of daily study. It changes the very texture of your mind, your personality. You thereafter, there won't be any word that will slip out of you, which has not been thought about. No. See, the intention is not to hurt anybody. It should be a constructive criticism, if at all you give it. It should help the person grow.
And you have to say it pleasantly.
As much as possible, yes.
Pleasantly, talk about something for 30 seconds. I want to ask you this happened.
Yeah, you can. But see, what you need to understand is, when you say pleasant,
yeah,
the idea here is, the person becomes available to receive the constructive criticism. See, supposing when you are having a discussion with somebody, yeah, and they had a viewpoint, mm-hmm, and now you don't agree with it. So you want to give a different viewpoint. So what do? First you say, yeah, you're right. But when you say that, you're not hurting them. You're saying, okay, you're right. Then you're actually giving a contradictory viewpoint.
Mm-hmm.
They're available to listen to your view. But you say, no, you're not right. I don't agree with you. You close their mind. They may not be listening to you. Are you with me? So my idea is not to shut them off or prove my point. I feel this is the right thing to do. So you want to talk it in such a way it's pleasant. So the person is going to benefit out of it. That's it. Yes, now you ask.
I was having coffee with a friend the other day in La Opera. And he is middle-aged. He's almost 60. And two Russian girls walked in. Which I didn't know they are Russian. Two white girls walked in their shorts, whatever. They were having a coffee and he started staring. They are good friends. So I said, you're staring. It's not okay. They are going to think some old man is staring. It was a throwback to my college days when we were young. We used to go in the youth special and somebody with grey, now we all have grey, but that time you saw a grey haired guy as an elder lech. That thing used to go in our mind. So to, in a way to protect him also, and also to share the correct thing, I said, they're going to think some old guy is staring, look beside you. He took such bad offense over the word old guy. And he didn't say anything. Then we walked on, after some time, again he's staring at some. So I kept quiet this time. And I felt as a friend I should tell him, and we all have daughters of that age, he also had. But he really took offense, and I think I should have said it, as I asked, in a pleasant way. But the content was correct, na? I have to tell my friend, na, ki please don't look, it doesn't look nice. Though you may be thinking, looking at them, thinking, ye kahan se hai, or thinking something totally innocent. Who are they? Where are they from? What language are they talking? He's extremely intellectual, so he might well have been doing that. He goes into the etymology of every word. How do you say such a thing? What is the line I should have used? Instead of saying, they are going to think some old guy is staring at, just don't look. That's somewhat how I said it.
If you
didn't tell you, and I will be.
Mind your own business. And I just thought, don't gawk, it's not looking nice. So I said it.
And what you said is nothing wrong. See, that assessment, if somebody has an ego that, you know, he doesn't want to be called as old.
Old.
You understand? You do the assessment and next time.
You think he was offended only by that word. You don't even know what.
He said.
Was okay to say. But because
no, he said your content was fine. 2 days later he told me that had nothing. He just stared at another girl 10 minutes later. 2 days later he said, your content was fine, but why did you say old man? I was really hit by that. He's bald, he's grey, he's almost 60. From the context of that 22 or 23 year old, he's an old man. I'm coming from there. That she think.
Because you're putting yourself in when you... But your attention was right.
Yeah. My attention was loving. I wanted also to protect him from somebody thinking, oh, old lady.
Yeah.
I didn't want somebody to think that of my friend.
See, Priyam here, though it's translated as pleasant, it is giving more of the meaning of love. You understand? Lovingly. Whatever you said was out of love, right?
Yeah.
Not without of attachment to the person or hate or anything. So he's not saying talk words which pleases them. Please understand, you must make the difference between these two. So priyam hita, priyam words, not pleasing words, not prayer, priyam. You got to think about it. So instead of getting into this old, you would have said, I'm not without getting into the pleasing thing.
Yeah.
You understand? Pleasing is a weakness of the mind. Right? You have to do the right thing, good thing. Accordingly, you did the right thing there. Okay. Now, and as far as I could see that you said it to that man out of love, out of concern. Even though you may not look at them with that kind of intention, it may be looked upon like that, whatever, you know. Even if it was that kind of a thing, you better understand, you know. So you did the right thing, you didn't say anything negative. So I won't say, but please understand, it's not pleasing. Don't get into this that I must always please people, that's a weakness.
Mm.
Oh, I should not hurt the person, and what will he think, and what will she think, and You know, that is not the idea here. So priyam here means with love. I don't think you'll need any more.
Please, you have to meet him. You know.
So when you do the proper assessment, then you understand, okay, this person has this kind of thing.
Maybe it's nice, right anyway, because at least it makes him, you see from the girl's perspective, because he's been there as 18 and an old man, especially your first thought is the old ledge. You're protecting him because he's your friend, you don't want...
Yeah, so because also I know he's probably not. Or generally I don't think like that, no. The ledge. Any women like it. Yeah, next time you see them having coffee together.
She said it like what she thought, right? So the point is you're making him aware as a friend that this is the way she might be thinking. So like,
which after 2 days he was okay, but he also had no
call.
It's such a trigger. We all have a trigger.
Everyone has a trigger.
And trigger is not recognized weapon now.
He's aged.
Or, you just hit a trigger. I don't
hit a trigger.
Yeah.
I guess not all of us accept that we are Middle East. We are here. Not you.
We are also Middle East.
Yeah. You are Middle East and we are really getting on. But I think
it's a trigger.
That it bothers.
Clearly the lecturing at the girls was not an issue. He's accepted that.
I don't think he was letting.
Maybe
he was
acting.
Whatever,
like
putting a background to everybody. Some people do that.
No, it just happens to many people. You know, you are not thinking of that way, but you can be perceived that way.
You can be perceived. That is my intention.
Most likely.
You know. What are they going to think?
So, see, one thing, anything that you do, why you must give little thinking to the person's nature, this thing, pleasing also, you think a little bit, you don't want to upset anybody unnecessarily, right? But here the weightage given to that word is more of love and the right thing, priya. Shakespeare says, be soft but firm. You know, that's sort of thing. Next. So self-study comes under austerity of speech. We'll do one more verse, 16. Serenity of mind, mana prasada, saumyatva, gentleness, silence, maunam, self-restraint, atma vinigraha, and very pure disposition, bhava samshuddhi, are called austerity of mind.
How would you translate the word prasad in English?
Prasad is a tough word to translate in English because they don't have the concept of prasad, you know, in that culture. So, shanti, balanced, all this is prasadam. Prasadam adhikachati, he says in the second chapter. You know, prasadam means you get peace. The moment you don't think in terms of what I will get, and whatever I get, I'll take it as the gift from God. I mean, the nearest translation would be gift, but what is that gift? Peace. Prasad.
Blessing?
Prasad actually means gift from God.
Would it be blessing?
So blessing.
Blessing from God, whatever.
Maybe but, closest translation.
Yeah. So, but actually what it means is peace. It will give you balance, peace. That's what it is. Prasad from God. So, mana prasada, serenity, calmness of mind, is an austerity at the mind level. You should put in that effort to not allow your mind to get disturbed. Even if you get disturbed quickly, come back. Because a sadhan should not allow oneself to get disturbed. It's going to be detrimental for oneself. Because if you are disturbed, you are going to do all wrong things. So So I must understand, Baba, I must quickly get back to Shanti. So it's an effort, right? Somebody said something, it disturbed you. I must not allow myself to get disturbed. Quickly come back. Put in that effort. Put in that tapas. The moment you become aware that yes, it's upset me, quickly come back. You know? So your intellect should guide your mind, not to go continuously in the direction of the mind. And egocentric desire and egoistic attitude disturbs the mind. Therefore, you must use your intellect and control the egocentric desire and egoistic attitude so that your mind remains in calmness. That is the tapas. Then gentle. Swamiji says, mild in disposition and action, refined. Then basically not being vindictive. A mind which is vindictive, you know. Not having that kind of a mind. Don't be reactive. Be responsible. Do the give the response, not reaction. Again, intellectual discipline. Intellect over the mind. Being gentle. Putting yourself from other person's point of view and dealing the whole thing. Then you will automatically be gentle because you don't want to be harsh to yourself, right? You are gentle to yourself. When you put yourself in other shoes, then you will be gentle. And the most important thing that he says here is maunam, silence. Effort to be silent, because silence teaches you a lot about yourself. Being silent teaches you a lot about yourself. Many things that you don't know, you start seeing. So maunam is an extremely important practice to become aware of one's own thoughts, to be able to course correct, you know. So therefore it is practicing of maunam. And then atma vinigraha, self-control. You should have a life of self-control, not self-denial, discipline. Because the problem with the mind is, the moment you give in, it wants more. More, 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 give me more. You know. So therefore it is atma vinigraha. You have to practice the life of discipline, control. That's extremely important. Not going with the mind's impulses and Bhagavan giving whatever the mind asks. You know? So it's okay if the mind goes to certain thoughts, but not allow it to indulge in that. Practice, bring it back. So if you have a purpose and a goal, then you have something to bring it back. See, when you are doing meditation, why do they give you mantra? And the mind, then only you know it slipped or not. When you know purpose, only what will go anywhere. How do you know it slipped? But if you have a mantra, then you know it's slipped. Then what do you have to do? Bring it back to the mantra. Bring it back to the mantra. This atma vinigraha. Bhavasam shuddhi. Bhavasam shuddhi means pure disposition, pure bhava. Like forgiving is a very, very interesting quality at the mental level. Giving at the mental level. That is forgiving. Forgiving is what? Giving at the mental level. Beautifully, Maurice Maeterlinck says, they are also good people, but they didn't have proper guidance. Wickedness stands forth revealed as goodness bereft of a guide. They didn't have a proper guide in their life. Goodness bereft of a guide. So you
doesn't
should,
that become an excuse as an adult to say I don't have proper guidance?
Yes, so therefore you start giving them guidance. Understand that. It is true. We need guidance. Guidance doesn't, I don't mean that you shift the entire responsibility on somebody else. We are like, because the society didn't guide them or anything. You know? You should also put an effort to go for such guidance. That is true. But it is also true that there is goodness in everybody. It is just that they didn't have proper guidance. A lot of people who had certain vasanas, for example, hacking, you know, when they had proper guidance, then they worked for the government to handle the hackers. But they think like that, their vasanas are like that. So they are guided and they are not vicious, they are not bad to the society. Right? So, see, it's extreme, like I said, you can't allow the mind to get agitated so that it dissipates in it. You got to keep yourself in a very calm, serene, composed state. So the chaseful thoughts are extremely important. Sensual thoughts, what happens is, it stills you. It doesn't allow you to be quiet. So therefore you have to put in the effort to develop chaseful thoughts. That is a constant effort. It's not easy. You know, so you protect yourself from all kinds of inputs now. See, it's like a small sapling, you try to protect it, no? By giving it all the protections, the stick and all the other protections. It's exactly like that. See, I'm in the stage of trying to strengthen my roots. Now, I can't give myself to this wind of passion and this and that and then say, everything is okay, fine, doesn't matter. All this, what is the end of the day, your mind only. It's all correct, but then, you know, that's why it's extremely important while growing stage is there, you have that environment which is also conducive. Otherwise mind will definitely go towards that kind of a thing. Get excited, you know. And once you excite it, it's very difficult to control. So never do anything to excite your mind or the body or the speech. Always put in that effort not to bring that excitement. So these three things he has spoken, and the next verse is going to say these three put together is sattvic tapas. So we'll just chant that and talk a little bit about it. There's nothing much in that verse. So in this he says that threefold austerity practiced by devout men with utmost Shraddha faith, desiring no fruit, is declared sattvika. In short, what he is saying, all these practices you do, tapas at the body level, mind level, intellect level, speech level, consistently, right, he says, with Shraddha, till you reach the goal. Why am I doing with that understanding? So that it doesn't become denial, it becomes a controlled direction. Then, another very important fact he adds, what? Desiring no fruit. You're doing it, desiring no fruit. You're not in a hurry. You're not desiring the result. While doing all this, you're not thinking about the result. You're not doing it for that. Yes, I want to become a better person, but I'm not in a hurry. I'm consistently doing it because I clearly understand today's efforts become tomorrow's success. So I focus more in my efforts rather than result. The very focus when it shifts from the action to the result, it is a dissipation. You understand? Therefore he says, desiring no fruit. That is what he means. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Kayena Vacha Kayena Vacha Manasendriyaiva Buddhyatmanava Buddhyatmanava Prakriti Swabhavat Prakriti Swabhavat Karomi Adhyat Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayeti Samarpayami Narayanayeti Samarpayami Hare Krishna.